This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan and with me, Dashran Johan. So we have one story for you today. There's always a negative stigma attached to being alone or wanting some alone time. However, psychologists suggest that being alone could actually be a blessing. Could there actually be benefits in being alone? We will be discussing this with an associate professor in psychology.
Right. So we want to know your thoughts. Do you like being alone? Do you like spending alone time, going to the cinema alone, perhaps? So if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
Now let's get into it.
Right. So have you ever told your friends that you're going to catch a movie in the cinema alone only for them to look at you like you're a crazy person?
Yes, a little bit.
So society has often attached negative labels on the phenomenon of not being around other people. So wanting to spend some alone time is seen as a negative. Being an introvert is seen as a bad thing too. And perhaps this stems from the fact that we are largely a, you know, social species.
Yeah, I mean, that does make, I think, some amount of sense, right? And we spoke to psychology lecturer Dr. Eugene T last year, and he said that, and I'm quoting, "We support and thrive in supportive, cohesive communities." And an article in Emerald Psychiatry also states that the idea of a loner has a social stigma that implies that one is isolated and an outsider or even dangerous. However, Dr. Eugene also pointed out that we need to keep in mind the difference between loneliness and solitude.
Yeah, and that's what many other psychologists and sociologists think too, that being alone can be a blessing even when it's forced on you during a pandemic. So Sonia Lipke, a professor of health psychology and behavioral medicine at Jacobs University in Bremen, Germany, said that, and I quote, "Being alone is a natural part of the human condition. Some people enjoy being alone and recognize its benefits while others can hardly bear it. But it doesn't have to frighten you."
And Janos Schobin, a sociologist at the University of Kassel, also shared very similar thoughts. He said, "Being alone is associated with personal autonomy and independence, and loneliness and emotional deprivation and loss of autonomy. Being lonely means being captive to aloneness, so to speak."
Yeah. And I think, you know, Kelly Clarkson put it best when she sang, "Doesn't mean I'm lonely."
Yes, the expert.
So, but not only that, there are also studies that suggest that aloneness can actually be good for us. It can promote creativity, for example. But what other benefits does being alone have? And how does one experience these benefits without feeling lonely? So to help us unpack that, we have on the line Dr. Eugene T, who's an associate professor in psychology. So hello, Eugene. Welcome to the show. To start off, can you tell us why being alone often carries a social stigma? We were just talking earlier that, you know, when I tell my friends I'm going to catch a movie in the cinema, they think I'm some kind of weirdo, you know. so help me make sense of this.
So I think that's an interesting observation. I'm just going to say for a start that it's sometimes awesome going to the cinema on your own and, you know, having the seat next to you left empty, or if you have a favorite treat in a restaurant, enjoy your meal in peace without a friend reminding you of the calories. But I'm thinking that in these contexts and situations, it is somewhat expected, the norm almost, that the activities be performed or to be shared in the company of others. So let's just take food sharing, going to a restaurant and sharing a meal. I suspect that the simple act of having meals together goes back to the earliest part of our human history. Scientists have modeled, you know, food sharing as a sort of social custom that enhances bonds, cooperation, connections with others. Slightly different, though, for the cinema. I think it's more easily explained by the activity and the location. Movie watching is a social activity. Cinemas are frequented by couples, groups of friends, not just individuals. So the just to go back to your main point, the stigma being referred to here may simply be because of the situation and environment that are meant for dyads and groups, you know, pairs of people rather than just single individuals. I'll say, though, it's not a bad thing. You have a meal all to yourself. You enjoy a cushy cinema seat. without a stranger next to you. I've been on an amusement park ride where there was a single rider line. But these lines allow you to enjoy the ride or maybe even the cinematic experience, but at the expense of not being able to share that experience with others. So maybe that's where that thing that comes from. It's not a bad thing as long as you enjoy the activity on your own. That's all I'm saying.
And some psychologists, and Kelly Clarkson, have suggested that there's a difference between being alone and being lonely. Is there a difference? Are these two terms interchangeable?
So psychologists, researchers, we like our terms. We like to define them so that we know what we're referring to. One way to distinguish between what you refer to as being alone and being lonely is to ask a simple question. Do you enjoy your current state of being by yourself? If so, then it's not a bad thing. Some psychologists refer to this as a state of positive solitude, the wanted time to yourself away from others. That does not make you antisocial. That does not make you, you know, difficult to get along with. That does not make you a bad person. What psychologists understand as loneliness, however, is the perceived discrepancy, the difference between the relationships you have and the relationships you want. So we feel lonely when we see there to be a difference between the number and the quality of relationships compared to the ones that we currently have. I think one neuroscientist calls it chronic perceived isolation, and it's an undesirable state compared to positive solitude, which I mentioned a while ago. So you can therefore be lonely in the presence of others. Why? Because I think it's the second characteristic, the quality and the depth of our relationship, that explains why we can, you know, have thousands of friends on Facebook, still feel lonely, isolated, and detached from others. It also explains why we can go to a social gathering with tons of acquaintances, meet new friends, and still end up still feeling pretty lonely. You might want to consider your friends on Facebook. They might be more accurately considered acquaintances, maybe loose, you know, second degree connections.
So are there any benefits in being alone?
Yeah, certainly. There has been a growing number of psychological studies, a host of studies, in fact, showing the, you know, benefits, psychological benefits of being alone. By alone here, I'm referring to the wanted me time, so the positive solitude, as opposed to the unwanted sense of isolation, which is loneliness. We know from our overly enthusiastic move into, I think some of our listeners are in open office spaces, excessive social interactions just don't work. What was meant to foster open communication, creativity, invitations to collaboration end up being a disruption to our concentration and productivity instead. The same effect, though, can be found in individuals outside of work. One study at least showing that the degree of unsociability is associated with creativity. Other studies show that this positive solitude is related to a sense of freedom to be able to express oneself and also self-awareness. So the times that you spend on your own can be an opportunity for reflective, contemplative moments that allow you to be more cognizant of your strengths, limitations, your quirks, your tendencies. And I think a word or two can be said about the benefits of positive solitude on productivity, on work, your creative output. If I can just drop a line from a couple of quotes that I come across here, Picasso was once quoted saying, "Without great solitude, no serious work is possible." One part of Nikola Tesla's quote states that the mind is sharper and keener in seclusion and uninterrupted solitude. So if you tune out the noise and chatter from the outside world, sometimes the best, most creative and innovative voice to hear is that of your own.
And there are some psychologists who say learning how to be alone may serve you well when it comes to knowing what you need and what you want in a relationship. And also that you can't possibly have a healthy relationship with others if you haven't learned how to have a healthy relationship with yourself. Do you share these sentiments?
I think that's quite a lot of truth in this statement. I mean, it comes in so many different forms and variants, isn't it? So you can't love others until you learn how to love yourself, or to even, at the very least, know yourself. So what I gather is that since solitude does increase self-awareness, it should have a carryover effect to one's connections with others. With self-awareness comes a kind of a sense of humility of who one is, what one has, and what ultimately one can offer in a relationship. So in short, positive solitude can encourage a deeper sense of appreciation for oneself. Some of us may rely heavily on others for validation or assurance of our self-worth. We rely on others to tell us how well we're doing, how good of or a important person that we are to them. And we want to matter to others. And that is important, of course. But we need to recognize that we need to matter to ourselves as well. Relying on others to matter, to be a person of value, forms a fairly shaky foundation for self-esteem. What's best for us, though, is something called self-compassion. So being self-compassionate means that we are mindful of ourselves, acknowledge that we share common experiences of ups and downs with others, and that ultimately we should be kind to ourselves. Now, this recognition can help lay the foundations for psychological and emotional maturity. And we can achieve all this by engaging in positive solitude, just taking the time to reflect on ourselves, who we are, what we want, and then I think that will set us up in a better position for relationships with others.
Mm. So how can we learn to be alone without feeling lonely?
I have a strange suggestion or a tip. Sometimes when I do go to cinemas and meals alone, I look like I'm enjoying it a whole lot more than the people who are gathered in crowds who can't get their voices or their comments across to the person across on the other table. Well, for me, I think we all need close, meaningful, and beneficial relationships, right? And so I'm not saying cut off your social connections with others. But I think we may need them in varying degrees, maybe less of it now. And I think positive solitude, what I'm trying to say is that it might be even more important in our environment today, in our always connected to social media lives. It's not impossible for someone who thrives on social connections, extroverts for one, to engage in positive solitude. So first, recognize how much positive solitude you'd be comfortable with and go from there. Maybe about half an hour a day, that's plenty for a lot of people. Introverted people might generally have an easier time blocking out hours for themselves. More general recommendations, let's see, including yourself in your hobbies, or spending time with hobbies, me time to engage in personal reflection, learning a skill, craft, hobby, something that you can enjoy without being interrupted. Spending time reconnecting with nature. One study I came across told us that daydreaming might even be beneficial. I personally find journaling for just a quiet 15 minutes a day therapeutic. Yep. So writing about the day's events, what did I gather from this? What was my reaction during a time that's been shown empirically to be very useful? Disconnecting from social media for a while, I think that's an important one, can also be beneficial. There's this tendency, to feel left out of a gathering, FOMO, fear of missing out, engaging comparisons with others. So you want to avoid that. Eventually, though, you get to a point where you can comfortably answer this deceptively simple question. Who are you when you're not with anyone else? And I think that comes from spending a lot more time with yourself. That positive solitude can help you answer that question.
Thank you, Eugene. That was Dr. Eugene T, Associate Professor in Psychology. And I'm going to see your Kelly Clarkson by raising you a Whitney Houston. And I was just reminded as Dr. Eugene was talking about her song, The Greatest Love of All is Learning to Love Yourself. And, I think in that sense, we just got a WhatsApp as well from Eddie Chu, who said, I love my alone time. I had been to cinemas, restaurants, and even traveling, and even travels or tours alone. And I really enjoyed every moment of it. It's so relaxing without the need to take care of anyone who could be accompanying me. If you have thoughts about your experiences doing things alone and actually enjoying them, you can continue to let us know. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. I thoroughly agree. I was kind of forced to travel alone quite a bit early on because I would go for work and then I would kind of extend and do my own thing. But over time, I've actually really learned to enjoy not having to worry about anyone else, not having to also make my plans around anyone else. That doesn't mean I don't enjoy it when I do go with others, but it's kind of a treat when I get to do it myself.
Yes, I'm the same way, but I think I've never actually struggled with I actually liked being alone since I was very young.
You belted that Kelly Clarkson song like you meant it, so yes. I believe you.
Because even when I was a kid, maybe 8, 9, 10 years old, and around that time, I always, so at first I was sharing a room with my brother, but after that I just didn't want to anymore. I wanted my own space, I wanted everything, I just preferred to do things alone. Of course, for example, in the cinema example we were talking about quite a few times earlier, I do love the communal experience of cinema. I love going with my friends and all that. But I'm also very comfortable doing things alone because I think that the part that made me realize I have to start going to the cinemas more alone is because I used to, even now, I like to go to the cinema like once, twice a week, sometimes more. And I can't expect my non-movie buff friends, who are most of them, to, you know, come with me for every single movie, right? They want to watch one movie a month or two movies a month. So I just came to a realization that, you know, if I want to watch this movie, it doesn't matter if people are there. At the end of the day, I'm interacting with the film. So yeah, I'm pretty comfortable even with restaurants and all. And it's just nice to be there by yourself and reflect and, you know, just think.
Well, Sharina just texted in to, I think on this musical theme that we've accidentally stumbled on. She says, you know, she listens to It's My Turn by Diana Ross every day. Another song that's very much about celebrating time by yourself, doing things yourself. No, I completely agree, Dasha. And I think that's not to say that spending time with others is not enjoyable. Mm-hmm. But it is important, I think, to learn to enjoy your own company. And I very much agree that, you know, if you can't, what Dr. Eugene said, which is knowing who you are when other people are not around, I find that very meaningful.
Yes, and I think on that, just to add on to that, you know, I think a lot of, not a lot, maybe that there are some people who, you know, they can't imagine not being in a relationship, for example, and they just want to constantly latch on to someone, you know, even after one breakup, another and another. And I don't think that is very healthy. You know, as Dr. Eugene mentioned, you know, you need to be able to be with yourself first, to understand who you are and love yourself first before you can, you know, sort of share that with others.
Well, on that profound note, we do need to wrap up today's show. But continue to tell us what you think. Do you like alone time? Do you fear it? You know, how do you maneuver these various things? Tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or drop us a message on Facebook. We are BFM, The Bigger Picture. If you've missed any part of today's show, you can download the podcasts on bfm.my/dailydigest, on the BFM app, or on Spotify. Coming up after the 3 p.m. news on Front Row, I will be speaking to Pusaka's Edin Koo and Pauline Fan about the migration of various art forms into Malaysia in conjunction with, of course, Merdeka Day, which is just right around the corner. So we will leave you now with yet another theme about alone time. Sometime Alone Alone by Melody's Echo Chamber on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.